Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer at WNYC. Don't forget to check out our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Always a lot to read there and always a lot to do. Lead story with video is Carl Paladino's latest, what should we say? Is it walking back? It's clarification. His comments originally on gays and brainwashing that he originally made in Brooklyn on Sunday. You can see that. We have my daily news and politics quiz. Today the question has to do with Mayor Bloomberg's proposal to restrict sugary drinks from food stamps. We ask, excluding items from food stamps based on nutrition is currently done in how many other states? All 49 other states? Just the progressive states of California and Massachusetts? Or it's never been done? See if you've been paying attention. Take the Brian Lehrer Politics and News quiz on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org and see all the other stuff going on there. Well, it's probably not news to anyone that New Yorkers don't follow traffic rules very well, but Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer can prove it, at least when it comes to the rules for the over 600 miles of bike lanes. And the rule breakers include a few categories. Let's say drivers are one. Let's say the cyclists themselves are another. Would you believe pedestrians? I think that probably covers everyone. Borough President Stringer joins me now. Welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
What was this survey?
Well, this was, I think, a very important survey because as we build out our transportation grid, and obviously cycling is going to be an important part of creating transportation alternatives, we have to treat these bike lanes the way we treat the way cars operate. We have to come up with a protocol that's about safety and enforcement, and we have to create a clear path for cyclists. And in order to do that, we first have to figure out what's happening out there. And that's why we surveyed the lanes in 11 locations, and we identified over 1,700 infractions over a period of rush hours in several days.
How was the survey done? You have people sit at intersections, not blocking bike lanes, I presume, and just watch what happens?
We put people out in the street, and we surveyed the different locations, and we identified bike lane blockages by cars and trucks. We looked at pedestrians and bike lanes. Cyclists were going the wrong way. There was very little signage. There wasn't any traffic enforcement by police. In fact, we found a whole lot of police cars violating the rules. So we clearly need to think about how we're going to make bike transportation safe. I'm a big supporter of bike lanes. I've supported a lot of the innovative ideas coming out of the Department of Transportation. But you can't support something knowing that at the end of the day, we're really not creating a safe environment. And it is only a matter of time when lack of thinking about these issues will result in a real tragedy. And when you look at some of the situations that's already occurred, it's time for some real action.
And you say, you conclude in the report that chaos reigns, use those words, chaos reigns in the city's bike lanes, cars blocking the lanes, pedestrians using the lanes, cyclists going the wrong way. Do you want the police to crack down on bicyclists?
We need a multifaceted approach, which I don't think is very difficult. We need signage. We need an education campaign. How do you create miles and miles of new bike lanes and you're not doing public service announcements, you're not educating pedestrians and cyclists and car drivers? Here you're trying to really recreate a transportation grid in a city where there's over 8 million people, and you come up with a quick way to devise a bike lane, but you're not doing the kind of community outreach that speaks to the issue of safety. So I've tried to show by this study, let's wake up the Department of Transportation, let DOT talk to the TLC, the Taxi and Limousine Commission, because we have some recommendations for taxi cab drivers and people who come out of taxis and open their doors sometimes into the cyclist. Mm-hmm. And let's creatively figure out an exciting and maybe a fun advertising campaign for the city.
So that's at the level of public education. But what about enforcement? Do you want to see more bicyclists getting tickets for things like going the wrong way on one-way streets or in bike lanes? Do you want to see pedestrians getting tickets for walking in certain ways in bike lanes?
Listen, we want to make sure that we do have a transportation grid that encourages cycling. We like new forms of transportation. It's great for the environment. It's great for one's health. But we also have, just like we want to give cyclists even footing with cars, we have to treat enforcement the same way. So just because you're in a bicycle and you go the wrong way doesn't mean that you get to violate the traffic laws. And yes, if we have traffic officers observing that behavior, there should be a way to ticket people, and we do that now. But there has to be a strategy that results in crackdown where appropriate.
So you want police crackdowns, you want enhanced street signage, you mentioned the taxicab public awareness campaign on dooring. People die when they get doored or they swerve to avoid. How many times have we heard about people swerving on a bicycle to avoid an opening door and getting killed by an oncoming vehicle?
And look what's great about this city. We have frail elderly that live here and enjoy the city. We have a whole lot of parents with children being raised in this city. This is all great. So we have to work very hard to protect those two vulnerable populations, for starters.
And you say reserve parking spots for deliveries along commercial streets to discourage potential bike lane blockages. Is there a place where a delivery truck can double park without blocking a bike lane?
I think we have to take a look at that. The reality is a lot of these areas need commercial deliveries, and I think we should look at creating designated areas. We certainly should have a discussion about it. I think we should look at the opinions of many of our community boards that have embraced bike lanes but do have a concern about safety. So this is not attack on the Department of Transportation. This isn't a gotcha report. This is a way of saying to city agencies, listen, we support your efforts, but there has to be a safety component to this.
All right. This is one of those topics, and my guest is Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer, where whenever we even mention it, before we open up the phones, all the phone lines fill up with people who already know the number. Whenever we talk about the relationship between bicyclists and motorists and pedestrians, and here we are again with this latest report from the Manhattan Borough President's office. We have two lines remaining available, but if chaos reigns in the bike lanes, what do we do, folks? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Ed in Carroll Gardens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Great topic, of course. Yes, President Stringer, I haven't had an opportunity to read the report yet, and I do look forward to it, but just wanted to have one anecdotal observation and make a quick point. We recently traveled up to Montreal, which has a fantastic bike culture, a lot of bike lanes. They actually were voted as the best biking city in the world recently. And there are so many people utilizing the infrastructure, and it's absolutely wonderful to see. But concomitant with that was an evident respect for the bikers on the part of motorists and pedestrians. We actually took a bike tour, and we were on the network of bike paths, but there was a certain point where there were no bike lanes, and as a clump of five cyclists, we just took over basically a car-sized portion of the lane and drove in traffic. Nobody was giving us any trouble. People were completely respectful, understanding that the road was something that is for everybody.
So do you think, Ed, from your lights, that bike lanes are just a transitional solution to bikes being integrated in the general traffic flow?
I don't think that you replace bike lanes with that, but I think that if you get to a point where there is a recognized legitimacy for both cars and bicyclists, I mean, so many drivers, and you do say this is a charged topic, of course it is, but so many drivers don't seem to believe that cyclists belong on the road. Mm-hmm. And I think that President Stringer makes a great point in terms of what we can do with community outreach and PSAs and things like that.
All right.
To change the bike culture. And just the other point that I wanted to make very briefly is one way in which this city is very much not embracing bike culture. I think Mayor Bloomberg seems to have the idea that you build the infrastructure, and if you build it, they will come. But you look at the way that the city and the police in particular treat the critical mass rallies, and the way that they're approaching bike culture in the city is really diminishing people's incentive to get on the bikes and ride as opposed to be in car.
Thank you for your call. Jack in Fort Greene, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jack.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I grew up in New York, and I've seen the bike culture change. And as someone who grew up here, I've seen so many fatal bike accidents. And I'm a motorist. You know, I drive from Brooklyn to Queens to my office every day. And I really feel like for safety to happen, like the bike culture itself has to change, because you just see so many bicyclists breaking the rules, driving the wrong way down one-way streets, and putting themselves in very dangerous situations. And if they want to be treated as, you know, on equal par with motorists, then they have to respect the traffic laws, and there has to be some enforcement mechanism to balance that relationship.
Jack, thank you. And another thing that you proposed, Borough President Stringer, is increase the frequency of bike boxes along the routes. Those are to cut down on cyclists running red lights?
Absolutely. And also,
how does that work for people who don't know the term? What's a bike box?
Well, it's a sort of a place where you can a designated box would allow for the cyclist to get in front of the car so that you can safely make a turn. And again, you wouldn't know about a bike box unless there's a sign, or you wouldn't know about a bike box unless we tell people how they can cycle in a safe way. What's clear from the first few callers is that a lot of people have great suggestions, and we actually have data that, and life experience that says we can have it both ways. We can have cars and bikes living in the same grid, provided that we do our due diligence. And as we build out this infrastructure, we have to think about how we integrate in the safest way possible.
Jen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jen.
Hi there. I'm so happy to hear you talking about this. I'm a cyclist myself. And one thing I notice more than anything else when I'm out on my bike is that nobody knows what the rules are. The cyclists don't know. The motorists don't know. I've had cops tell me to ride on the sidewalk.
Really?
Which is completely illegal. And I find myself in a lot of situations having to make the choice between two or three different extremely dangerous and illegal options, because there's no safe way for me to do whatever it is I need to do, whether it be take a left-hand turn or, you know, whatever it is I need to do. There's no safe way for me to do it because of all of the different mixed up assumptions everybody on the road is making.
I think you're a perfect example of somebody who wants to embrace cycling and enjoys it, and it's part of our way of looking at sustainability in the city. But I am very adamant in my belief that the role of government, first and foremost, must be to make our city safe. That's in terms of crime. It's in terms of when we had dangerous crane collapses. And now when we look at our street grid, we've got to make sure that people can move in the city in the safest way possible, given our diverse population, frail elderly, young children. This is something that we have to embrace. And I am going to make it my business to make sure that as we expand our grid to include cycling and other different forms of transportation, there has to be a way of getting the community involved in safety.
Jen, thank you for your call. We're going to take two more calls, and we're going to take them together because they're coming in from the same neighborhood to say the same thing. I think this is going to infuriate some other people from that neighborhood. But John and Carol, both on the Upper West Side, I think are calling to denounce the Columbus Avenue bike lane. John, is that right?
Yeah, I'm watching it go up in the neighborhood. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I just can't believe the city is giving up so much valuable real estate to what I feel will be a lightly used passageway. Now Columbus Avenue is used 24 hours a day. There's so many bottlenecks obstructing taxis, buses, delivery people as there is. I just can't believe we gave up this real estate. We lost about a third of the parking spaces. I can't believe businesses aren't up in arms.
And listeners, if you're curious, if you haven't been around those parts lately, we have a photo on our webpage of the Columbus Avenue bike lane being constructed. So you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. But Carol, you too?
Yeah, John said exactly what I was going to say. I was just looking out my window and I saw two bikes going down the lane, and that's a lot. And then there was another biker going down on the sidewalk for a block until he transferred over to the bike lane. And then there was a truck parked right in the middle of the bike lane.
But so, when you said two bikers and that's a lot, you're making the point that nobody even uses it?
That's what I'm seeing.
John and Carol, we thank you for your call. Borough President Scott Stringer.
Well, Columbus Avenue is a community I know very well. I will say that I do support creating challenging ways to move people in the city. And I do think that bike lanes are a great opportunity for people to get out of cars onto their bikes where appropriate. But again, part of these experiments is working with the community, in this case, Community Board 7. Community has supported this experiment, and we're going to monitor whether, in fact, the Columbus Avenue bike lane has merit. If it doesn't, I will urge it to be dismantled. But I do think the great part of the Department of Transportation is they're willing to take chances. They're willing to try something new. This is a city of big, bold ideas, and we certainly need transportation ideas. Listen, before bike lanes, we haven't had a new idea and transportation issues since we invented the subway system. And part of what I'm saying to the Department of Transportation and other city agencies, we give you credit for doing new and different big and bold things, trying to lead the world in transportation alternatives, but you do have an obligation to listen to the community and not impose your will and to listen when we tell you things have to be we have to do things in a more safe manner.
All right. Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer just out with a report on how chaos reigns in the bike lanes of Manhattan, at least, blaming cyclists, drivers, even pedestrians, and even the police. We're going to talk next about how, if we can bring order to the bike lanes, maybe also to the food vendors, the taco trucks, the hot dog stands. They're trying something in L.A. that we'll hear about from the left coast. But, Borough President, we see that you hired someone we're familiar with, David Saltonstall, the former Daily News City Hall Bureau Chief, to be your new policy advisor. People from journalism know enough to be policy advisors?
We're about to find out. But as you know, David is brilliant. He's had an amazing journalist career. He very much wants to tackle policy issues. And one of the great parts of our office is we have been policy driven. We believe in substance. This report is just a peek of what we're capable of doing. And working with David is going to be very exciting.
Thanks again. On those hot dog stands and taco trucks next.